What the Phone podcast. This is episode 2, and you're joined by me, Amy.
Me, Nick.
And today we have our special guest, who is now waving at me. do you want to introduce yourself?
Hello, my name's James Beattie, and that is my name.
How do we know, James?
Yeah, I was thinking about this today. So it was a really weird story. I worked in a bar, like, it was literally about 6 years ago, by the way.
Really? Six years ago?
Yeah, 6 years ago. And you came up to me and asked me to take a photo of you and your friends.
This is going to get awkward. So really, Amy, my girlfriend was working in a bar. And so James approached her with the goal of chatting her up.
No, he wanted a photo.
It's a great picture.
You just look like a natural photographer.
Well, yeah. And then, yeah, just became friends from that. And, yeah, you're really into your travelling. So do you want to tell us, in your entire life, just list off
blimey.
Where you've been?
I've been very fortunate to travel and see the world. It's my big passion, I'd say. This year, I did South America. I flew into Buenos Aires, Argentina.
Nice.
And then made my way up to Uruguay and up to Brazil. And then I made my way to Bolivia, then to Peru, up to Colombia. And then I flew into Miami to finish the trip.
Insane.
In style.
Yeah.
Nice.
So before that, you did some travelling, right? You went around Asia.
Yeah, I've done some amazing parts of Asia. I think Asia is a great place to start when you go travelling. It's
definitely.
Yeah. It's really, really easy to travel around there, and it's sort of geared towards travelling in a way.
Mm-hmm.
South America is maybe, I wouldn't say tougher, but less touristy in that sense. It's more you're sort of on your own a little bit more.
Yeah, it seems like you need a bit of experience. Like,
yeah.
One of my good friends travelled there with her boyfriend, and they'd been pretty much everywhere before going there. And even they found it a bit tough. Like, I don't want to like warn people away from South America, but they did get mugged and
a few
things happened, which I think you could very easily break down if you hadn't been, you've been caught by like all the Asian.
Yeah, I had all the Asian scams, so
yeah.
I was kind of a little bit more streetwise, maybe not the right word, but I was a bit more prepared.
Yeah.
But I probably got ripped off more in Asia than I did in South America, but maybe that's just experience, I suppose. But
yeah.
I found South America really safe.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone was worried, and family, let us know where you are, and
yeah.
I found it really safe. I found it really fine.
Would you say, I mean, we'll go into more depth later, but would you say South America you could do on your own, with a tour group, with a friend? What would you recommend in general for the continent?
I think you could do it alone, definitely.
Yeah.
I think hostels are such a great hub. You meet so many great people.
Yeah, of course.
I think Asia was maybe a little bit of a younger crowd, more
first-time backpackers.
Yeah, very young, very sort of like
they want to drink and stuff like
England
that.
Abroad, a bit like Mali
and
Magaluf.
Yeah.
In that sense, a little bit. Whereas South America was definitely a lot more of an older type of person there, I'd say.
Yeah.
Mid to late 20s, I'd say.
Yeah.
But yeah, both great parties and stuff. It wasn't the same party scene as Asia and Thailand. You know, you're in Peru, there's like, in Cusco, there's maybe two nightclubs. And they,
really?
Yeah. And you choose
Are
between...
Are they good nightclubs, though?
Well, I'm a cliche traveller. Every English person's in there asking for Oasis, you know? You travel halfway across the world, there you are.
It sounds, you say two nightclubs for the whole, is that city?
That's in Cusco, yeah, in the
Cusco.
City. But yeah, they've got like a main square in the city, and there's just basically two main clubs.
I think Koh Samui Road in Bangkok has got more than that, just on one street.
Yeah, 100%.
That's a mad place. I'm not sure if I'm a fan of that. It's too... too crazy.
I mean, that's incredible, isn't it? You can walk down a road and eat a scorpion, and then you're in the middle of a nightclub and you're on the back of the tuk-tuks. Oh, I think it's brilliant. I love Thailand. It's like the Asian Vegas, Bangkok, I think.
It is, yeah. And like, it really is like, what's the film called?
The Hangover.
Yeah. It really is like that. You just don't know what's going to happen in Bangkok. And
I love those films.
They are really good. So you've done South America, Asia. Where did you go in Asia? So Thailand.
I flew into Singapore, and I did Malaysia, Indonesia, Cambodia, Vietnam, Laos, and then obviously Thailand.
Okay, cool. And then in terms of the other parts of the world, have you done Australia, New Zealand?
No, that's the one I haven't really done, actually.
Oh, really? And how comes? Because like normally people do Asia and then they'll go straight to Australia and do like their year abroad, do all the working bit.
That is
that
true.
Not interest you?
It does, yeah. It's just a lot of people said it was just like England abroad, really.
Okay.
And I've heard it's very expensive. I've got a lot of friends who've lived there and travelled there. I felt that, I don't know, just for me personally, I'd love to go, but it just there's always somewhere else I'd prefer to go in the meantime.
Yeah,
beforehand.
Okay.
From two people, we have both been to Australia and New Zealand. Your thoughts about Australia, I'd actually say, are quite accurate, actually.
Yeah.
I wouldn't recommend anyone go,
but
yeah, it wasn't the travel experience that Asia is and what I think South America will be when we do go eventually.
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure you know this anyway, but we've done most of Asia, Then we did Australia, New Zealand, and then we went over to do India and Nepal.
Oh, wow.
Which, by the way, was the best trip of our entire lives.
Yeah, have you been to India?
No, that's next on the list.
I feel like this would be your perfect experience.
That's the place to go.
Our plan is when we're old and retired, we're going to buy a house in India, which we can holiday in. But the rest of the year, we want like an Indian family to live there, give them like a free house.
That's the plan.
But yeah, no, you'll love India. But yeah, going back to Australia, New Zealand, it wasn't a bad trip at all. Like,
no,
obviously you're traveling, it's amazing.
Of course,
but
yeah,
it was definitely our least favourite.
Yeah, but I think it's a great place for a lot of my friends went, and you don't have to learn any languages. You know, I'm there with a phrase book trying to speak Spanish.
Yeah, but that's good.
Which I enjoy.
Yeah, but a lot of people don't really like doing that kind of thing. They see it as effort, but yeah, no, completely.
And you can't eat guinea pig in Australia.
No.
Frowned upon or?
Slightly.
But you can eat kangaroo and crocodile.
Kangaroo? Oh, have you eaten kangaroo?
No.
That is one of the best meats I've ever eaten.
What a steak.
Really? Yeah. What does it taste of? Really,
it's like I'd say it's a mix of duck and lamb.
I remember it being just a real kind of luxurious steak. Like, tell us in Argentina you've had a pretty good steak, but kangaroo was just delicious.
Amazing.
Really?
Apparently they take it from, so if you think of a kangaroo, what part of the animal was it? It was like the leg.
It's all muscle.
But the thigh or something like that, because it's like the strongest part of the animal, and it was amazing.
Delicious.
So now that we've summed up where you've been in the world, we are going to, and I think you're going to be quite good at this, we're going to play the Capitals game.
Yes.
Okay, so you've got a 30-second timer. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read them out to you. You have to give me the capital city of that country. I'm going to read you out as many as possible, and every guest that comes on, their score is going to be compared to Nick's from the first episode, okay?
Pressure.
I'm pretty good.
There's a lot of pressure. So you've got 30 seconds. Nick managed to get through and get correctly. We said 9, but then when I listened back, we got it wrong. It was 10.
Nice.
Yes, justice has been done.
Okay.
So I'm going to start the 30-second timer.
I'm ready.
Are you nervous?
Yeah, very.
I'm nervous for you. Okay, right. America.
Washington, D.C.
Sri Lanka.
Pass.
Cambodia.
Phnom Penh.
Indonesia.
Jakarta. No, that's Philippines. I know this.
Quick, young
pass, pass, pass.
Argentina.
Buenos Aires.
India.
It's New Delhi.
Congo.
Pass.
Nepal.
Pass.
Poland.
Krakow.
Kenya.
Nairobi.
Oh, nice.
Yes. Wow, that is tough.
It's tough, isn't it? Should we give him Nairobi?
Hang on, Indonesia. Hang on.
You said 3/4 of it. You had it. You just didn't finish it. Jakarta.
Which one? Is it Philippines?
I counted. That was only 4.
Oh, that's awful, isn't it?
Are you counting in Nairobi?
No, I missed it.
If we count Nairobi, then that'll be 5. But the time was up.
Do you think you missed it?
The time was up.
Was it?
I must have done like 7 seconds.
It's not as if it was close to me, though, was it? But we'll give you that. You got
all
five.
Right. Getting
you
a bit got bitchy
five.
Over here.
I must have done about 7 seconds on.
Okay, shall I run through them with you? So, America, Washington, D.C.
Washington, D.C., yeah. You always think New York, don't you, instinctively?
Yes, exactly. Sri Lanka is Colombo. Did you get that one right?
No, didn't have a clue.
Cambodia, Phnom Penh, or Phnom Penh. Indonesia is Jakarta. Argentina is Buenos Aires. India is New Delhi. Congo is, I don't even know how to pronounce this, Brazzaville.
Brazzaville.
Obviously.
Brazzaville.
Like
Nepal
restaurant.
Is Kathmandu. Poland is Warsaw. And Kenya.
Oh, Warsaw. Yeah. What did I say? Krakow?
Yeah,
Krakow, yeah. Warsaw.
Yeah.
Kenya was Nairobi. But well done. So I'm going to write down your score and we're going to put you against.
Yeah,
it's a good game. When that's going in your ear, though, it's the pressure.
Yeah, I know. The 30-second time.
When you watch TV and you see people on the game show, you think, what's wrong with this? It's obvious.
Yeah, exactly. Cool. Okay, so now it's the long-awaited time for Nick. We are going to do Nick's geeky facts about Peru. You've been so excited about this.
I've been preparing for weeks.
Got a nice bit of music as well to keep this all game showy. Peru is a country in Western South America. It is bordered by Ecuador, Colombia, Brazil, Bolivia, and Chile.
Chili sauce and hot spices were banned from prison food in Peru in 1973 on the grounds that they might arouse sexual desires.
Peru is an extremely biodiverse country with habitats ranging from arid plains to the peaks of the Andes to the tropical Amazon basin rainforests.
The Spanish Empire conquered the region in the 16th century.
Peru then claimed independence on July 28th, 1821.
Peru is the only country whose name in English can be typed on a single row of a normal keyboard.
The Peruvian population is estimated at 30.4 million.
Spanish is spoken by 84.1% of the population and Quichua by 13%, while other languages make up the remaining 2.9%.
Quechua was the language of the Inca Empire, which was destroyed by the Spanish in the 16th century.
About 65 million guinea pigs are consumed in Peru every year. This local delicacy is known as cuy, I think.
81.3% of the population over 12 years old describe themselves as Catholic.
Machu Picchu, the lost city of the Incas, is by far the most popular tourist attraction and one of the wonders of the world.
Peru is the world's largest exporter of asparagus, with 117,000 metric tons sent in 2012.
Wow, educational. I think there was a few pronunciation issues.
Cui, Quechua, whatever.
Interesting facts.
And you know what we mean.
Let's get serious here for a second, kids, because we like to try and be informative to people. So I would say, depending on where in the world you live, check your government website before travelling Peru for advice. According to the UK government, gov.uk, Peru has all the usual travel dangers, pickpockets, etc., but overall is safe. 56,000 Brits visit Peru every year. Most have no problem.
Lovely.
I'm very fortunate to be one of those people.
You are one of them. Good.
You are indeed. So do you feel like you learnt a lot there?
I did. It was really interesting, actually. I knew about the guinea pigs. One of my friends had one in a restaurant one night. He wanted to try it.
So he did, but you didn't?
I'd had a little taste of his, but...
What did it taste like?
It's like really... It was a lot like chicken.
Mm-hmm.
A lot more chewy.
I'm surprised by that. I thought it would be like a dark meat.
Like a pork?
Yeah.
Pig? Guinea pig?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There we go.
But they present it, literally... They just cut it in half and present it as a guinea pig.
Oh, so it looks like one of
lying just straight flat on its stomach, with its head, with an apple in its mouth.
So it's like a hog roast on a mini plate.
Pretty much, yeah. The locals just love it. It's like...
Yeah.
Do you know why? Is it because the taste? Is it because they're cheap to get or to farm? Do you know what it is or not?
I think it has a factor of all of those things, really, but I just think they must just love the taste. It's just cultural. They've just obviously grown up with it and they love it. It's great.
Well, I guess it's the same as us eating chicken or anything like that. We don't think that's weird anymore because we've grown up in this culture.
Lots of parts of the world, eating beef is a complete no-go, but we love it. If we want to treat ourselves, we go for a steak, don't we?
In this country.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. But I think our food is packaged in a certain way, so it doesn't look like the animal you're eating.
Correct.
That's very true. Yep. And I think that's one of the reasons why I'm not too keen on fish. So I think that does look like a fish. Because it smells like fish, you know you're eating a fish.
Yeah, especially when it comes out with a full head on as well. You can see its eyes looking at you.
Yeah, that's what I mean, and that's how it is in Peru. Because they have, you can just see the whole animal, really. Yeah.
Okay, so now we're going to move on, and we want to know some in-depth stories about Peru, basically.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Is there any picture on your Instagram? Because we definitely stalked your Instagram. Your trip looked amazing. To be honest, your photos in Bolivia just looked unbelievable. So when you was at the salt flats, do you want to explain a bit about the salt flats?
Yeah, the salt flats are just absolutely incredible. But for me, the whole thing about travelling is that people make a place, you know? For me, if you could go to the greatest place in the world, if you have good company, it just enhances it so much. And
absolutely.
I was really lucky. I met a really good group of lads and we travelled together, but they were in a real rush because they wanted to get up to Cuba. So we did Bolivia in such a short amount of time.
And what are you calling short time?
Like a week, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And we obviously did the salt flats, but you're 5,000 metres above sea level. So a couple of the lads got altitude sickness.
Oh, and, I didn't realise it was that high.
Yeah. One minute you're looking at a volcano and the next minute you're on the world's biggest salt flats.
Wow.
And our driver kindly took us to an area that was deserted. And
you were on like a train or something, wasn't you?
Yeah, we
were. One of the photos.
And like an old broken down
train.
Was that at the salt flats?
That was just before the salt flats. Yeah. They used to use that to transport materials and then they changed their route. So they just literally abandoned all these trains just in the middle of like what seems like desert.
Mm.
So it's kind of a touristy thing. They take you there first and you get loads of pictures and stuff. And we were...
No.
We were like a boy band, really, the five of us.
Yeah. You're all like posing on the train. It's
Bolivian
really funny.
So we were making boy band album covers.
Nice.
And we got to the salt flats and it's so cheesy, but we're like, we're here now. We're going to have to make a boy band video. So we made one.
No way.
Yeah, honestly.
Can we, through our social media, can we post a link to that video?
I haven't put it online. One of the lads was like, that's so embarrassing, you can't put that on Facebook.
Oh, I
want
to see this.
To the listeners, we will try. We'll try to.
I would love to. I think it's one of the things that maybe could go viral because we're like a good group of lads, but we're just messing around. But yeah, it seems kind of semi serious. Mm-hmm. But everyone I've shown it to has laughed. I'll show you it. And
nice. Oh, man, I'm so excited to see this.
Yeah, so the salt flats were incredible. And then we went from Bolivia to Peru, and the border crossing is, it's not like the airport. You're literally just crossing a road, and there's just like a little hut where you show your passport.
And no one's in uniform.
No.
What we've experienced, anyway.
They have a TV in the background with Cartoon Network on. It's just so surreal.
Yeah, and you're like handing your passport over to these people, and you're thinking, oh my God, what are they going to do with my passport?
While you're watching SpongeBob.
Yeah.
100%. It's really surreal. But when you go in, you get like a paper documentation, and two of the lads had lost theirs. So
two of your friends.
Two of the lads we were with out of the five of us. So we all got on the bus, basically drops you off, you go through, and then the bus carries on, and you basically climb back aboard. And the drivers don't speak any English. So they're wanting to go. And two of the lads are having this argument with the guy, like trying to get through. And then they have to run back to another place. And the driver's trying to leave. So what could we do? So we just stood in front of the bus so it couldn't move. And the driver's just trying to run us over.
This is insane.
Yeah, it was crazy. So that's all we could do, because otherwise we'd be there and we'd be stranded.
Oh my God.
Because, you know, that's
there's
no
bus stop
there.
You don't want to hang around a border either. Like, they're like the dodgiest places.
Not a nice place.
When we just went to India, I think it was named like one of the worst drug exporting.
Really?
Like,
Nepal to India.
Yeah, like the border was really dangerous. And we went there and it was just like...
It's like hell on earth.
It literally was like hell, yeah. Yeah, so we were with a tour guide. Like, we put a stack of our passports together and our tour guide just handed it over to some guy in no uniform, and he just walked off with them.
Oh wow.
And I'm standing there freaking out, and I was like, why is no one else freaking out? This guy's just taken about 30 passports with him. We don't know where he's gone. He's not wearing any uniform. But I just think, but if you haven't traveled before, you need to know that kind of stuff, and just so you don't freak out straight away.
It's just totally different. So we were panicking, we didn't know what to do. So I was trying to just buy time. So I said, oh, we have to get our bags off. So then we were pretending we couldn't find our bags, and it was right at the back, and we were just buying more time. And the lads come running down this hill, waving and cheering, and we jumped on the bus, and everyone on the bus cheered. Everyone was on our side, really.
Yeah.
And we said, what'd you do? And they had no money either. So they said, I know this is a strange thing, but you just have to bribe.
What are you going to tell us
now? You just have to bribe them. So we'd all run out of money because... they had to go into these toilets, right?
Right.
No, I'm joking. So they had to bribe them. So they came back, and they're like, how much money have you got? And you're obviously on a budget when you're travelling, so you work out how much you need to get out of the ATM for what you need for that week. So we'd kind of all spent our money before we went. So we were walking up and down the bus asking complete strangers, and then people were so kind, you know, in moments like that, were giving us...
They gave you money?
People, you know, on the bus were giving us money. No, they were all tourists.
Oh, okay.
And then obviously they ran back up, paid, and then came back down. And that's the one thing I've worked out in the world. If I've been pulled over on a motorbike in Indonesia or Cambodia, you can bribe your way out of most things.
Yeah, you can.
I mean, I couldn't imagine that Stansted.
That is so true.
Here's a £50 note, let me in. Oh, go on then.
But hey, isn't that nice that all the other tourists help you out?
Yeah, really nice.
It's really good. Yeah.
I think
there were people from all over the world, were they?
All over the world, and I mean, people are just so nice. People are so great everywhere you go. And like I say, we left the salt flats and we came into Peru, and then we got to a bus stop. And when you travel, people want to hear these great, amazing stories. But I find the funniest stories when you get on a 24-hour coach journey and you've eaten something 10 minutes before that makes you ill.
No.
Yeah,
is that what you did?
Oh, that's a story for another day.
That
maybe.
Happened. That did happen, didn't it?
In Cambodia, all the way to Bangkok, 24 hours, and I was just ill for 24 hours.
Was there a toilet on the bus?
No. I had to pull over like 10 times. By the end, I'm just at the side of the road every time, just with a bottle of water. And in the end, like, the driver just had a camera phone. He was just taking pictures of me.
Wow.
No way.
The first time I'd go around the back of the bus and kind of hide. Like the 10th time, I was like, I just don't care anymore.
Without being too vile, is this coming from the top end or the bottom end?
Both.
Oh, God.
The top end first, and I was into a plastic bag. They give you a plastic bag for your shoes because heaven forbid you'd make a mess with your shoes or whatever. So I did it in a bag, and I was asking him to pull over, and he didn't speak any English, and he refused. So I was just sticking a bag and just waved it at him, and he pulled over.
Oh, no.
24 hours, yeah. I'll never forget that. Wow. But that's the story I tell my friends. because I come back and a few of my friends haven't travelled and they don't want to hear the time I was sitting on a beach drinking a mojito.
No, that's so true.
A lot of people think, who haven't been, think travelling here is all glamorous, and actually, I'd say most of the time it's not. But then yourself, when you look back on trips, fortunately, you remember all the good things.
Oh, you remember all the great things.
And then
you forget
about the horrible, uncomfortable bus journeys and boat journeys, being seasick and everything. There is a lot of...
Definitely.
There's not a glamorous side to it.
My favourite travel quote is, travelling is only glamorous in retrospect.
Yeah, 100%.
Which is true.
Completely.
100%.
It really is.
But we got into Peru, we went into Cuzco, and the lads, because they were in a bit of a rush, they wanted to book Machu Picchu as quick as possible. So we booked that, and then got into a really nice hostel, and I think that's the most important thing, getting into good hostels, where there's a good...
You can name the hostel, remember?
Of course, it's the Wild Rover in Cuzco. Right. And it actually was voted, while we're out there, one of the top 10 Irish pubs outside of Ireland.
Oh, wow.
In
okay.
the world,
that's
yeah.
That's a pretty good achievement.
So I ended up staying there for St. Patrick's Day, and it's Irish
owned.
Oh,
nice.
Great.
Yeah, it was absolutely incredible. And
I'm guessing they celebrated it there then.
Like you've never seen.
Really?
I've never seen a party like that. It was a great atmosphere. They had a band, music.
Sweet.
Drinks were flowing. And the owner's Irish, Colm, loveliest man I've ever met. It really made everyone feel welcome. He refused, anyone to buy him a drink on St. Patrick's Day. He's buying everyone drinks. He's a really, really nice guy. And we went hurling the day before.
What's hurling?
Which is like an Irish sport, really, really popular. It's a bit like, how could I describe it without offending anyone who's Irish? It's like a hurling stick, which is a bit like a hockey stick, I would say.
Is this
really
where
hard
they chuck
ball.
It?
Yeah.
With like a net?
And yeah, it's a bit like Aussie rules in a way. It's like a cross between the two, but it's very, very violent. People coming out with cuts, bruises, broken bones, whacking each other with the hurls.
Whoa.
So you can just, to get the ball back, you can just whack each other. So the day before St. Patrick's Day, they all went up to this huge hill in the top of Cuzco, overlooked the whole city. We were hurling, and I was the only English lad there.
Were you?
And they were giving me some stick. You do a shot of Jaeger, and then you hit the hurl, and they were like, if you hit it further than any of these Irish boys.
Oh my God.
So I had a really great time. It really made you feel welcome. And there's three Wild Rovers in South America, so I did the threesome. My only threesome of my life.
to date.
Yeah, to date.
Well, that's great. Can you just tell us a bit more about, so Cusco, it's a city, is that right? Town,
yeah,
city,
yeah, city,
village.
Yeah.
Is that like the gateway to the Inca Trail and then Machu Picchu or not? What's the situation?
Yeah, I would say so. It's the main big city. You still have to get a 4 or 5 hour coach journey to Machu Picchu, but that's basically their London, really. And there's a main square. There's some really beautiful architecture without sounding...
No, this is good.
No, that's good. We want to know everything about it.
And culturally, it's amazing. I love the people. And all the women wear these crazy bowler hats. There was a guy like 100 years ago, an English guy, who went out there to try to sell bowler hats.
Oh, wow.
And no one bought them and no one liked them. Mm. So he spread this rumour that they helped fertility and women get pregnant.
Really?
Wow. So only women wear them. So you just see like...
That's still amazing.
To this day.
Yeah, so you see like women wearing loads of women wearing bowler hats. Never see guys.
So from what I've seen... Why are you laughing at that?
Oh, well, I just assume so. All the women want to get pregnant, but...
Oh, all the guys don't.
All the blokes aren't.
I mean, the men want to get pregnant, but...
So what I've heard of South America from seeing, like, different programmes and stuff is a very sexual-based continent in terms of, like, they're just obsessed with sex and gods. And would you count Cuba into this, or is that more central?
Well, Cuba is central, but they might have the same attitudes. But
yeah.
I think what you're talking about, is that more Brazil, Argentina, or the whole of South
America?
Well, yeah,
so, like, the programmes that I've seen, that just everything in their culture is based around sex. Like in Cuba especially, they worship a lot of gods that are sex gods, and they give them offerings and stuff in rumba dances and stuff like that. But the programs that I've seen, that even down to you know how we have like drive-in restaurants,
yeah.
Did you know, or have you experienced, where they have like drive-in sex
brothel?
No. Like, so,
to go with a partner.
So it's really disrespectful if you live with your parents to bring your boyfriend over
and
sleep in their
house. Yeah.
So if I live with my parents and Nick was coming over, we'd go out in the car.
Every day.
Every day. We'd go out in the car.
Bowler.
And we'd go into like, look, kind of looks like a car park, but with curtains around the bays. So you park your car. You put your curtain around, and then you sleep together in the car and then you leave. But you pay like an hourly fee or something.
Well, you could rent in Club. You're like a friend of mine.
Yeah, okay.
Now you can, and Argentina and Brazil, you can rent hotels for like by the hour.
Yeah, so there's a lot of sex hotels out there and stuff like that.
Yeah, but I look like this, so.
Didn't work out for you then?
That's why I'm on the radio, not TV. The face for radio. But I think Brazil and Argentina, yeah, they're very free loving, is that right way of putting it?
I think that's a good thing. And like a lot of their food is kind of based around, oh, what will give you
your
like
libido kick. Yeah.
I've just seen a lot of that. Is that what it's like when you're there? Is it kind of hitting your face?
I would say so, yeah. Rio Carnival, it's a lot of, they have competitions on how many people they can kiss in a day. And they don't see that as cheating. So a girl will kiss, I went to Rio Carnival today and I kissed 30 guys, but they have a boyfriend. And then the boyfriend comes home and says, I kissed 40 girls.
Really?
And that's so strange. It's so bizarre for us. It seems a bit bizarre. But the guys are very pushy. And you know, those girls on, you know, who are tourists who are like, oh, I just gave him a kiss and he left me alone. You know, they weren't necessarily after anything more. It was more like a bit of a sport, if anything, like a game. But yeah, they're very, they wear their heart on their sleeve, definitely, without a shadow of a doubt. And obviously, you know, maybe Australia's the same. Being on the beach every day, I suppose in England it's so cold, we're always covered up.
Yeah.
We don't have the same pressure on us. Whereas they're living in bikinis.
Yeah.
Brazil's certain areas, there's a place called Florianopolis, and it was very much about health. There's gyms on every corner. It's about healthy eating, healthy drinking. And they have this drink called acai, which is like the nicest drink ever. I think Innocent put them in one of their smoothies, but they put like, you know, it's 1% acai, whereas you can get a pure acai. It's like a superfruit that's grown in the Amazon.
Oh, okay.
And it's the most delicious superfruit ever.
What does it look like?
It's purple.
Okay.
And they're like berries, but they're so fresh out there that you have a smoothie and it's just the most delicious, amazing thing.
We'll
really
get
good.
A smoothie when we get there then.
Sounds good. Yeah,
very
really good.
So yeah, good eating, good food, and yeah, the people are really great. But Rio Carnival was wild. It's, I think, you know, like Notting Hill Carnival times 100, really.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. Yeah. Can you tell us about, so you're in Cusco, you booked your trip to see Machu Picchu. What happened from then?
Well, there's a few different options, actually. You can book the Inca Trail, which takes 4 days.
But you can also get the train, right?
Yeah, you can get the train. There's lots of different packages. Because the lads were in a bit of, we're in a bit of a rush. We just got, a minibus to, basically the power station, and then you walk 5 or 6 hours through to the little town square at the bottom of Machu Picchu,
right.
And then you stay there for the night, and then you get up in the morning and do the 2,000 steps. But you can get the train if you know.
Yeah.
You didn't want to walk it, but I enjoyed doing that. It was a bit of a compromise for us, but a lot of people did the Inca Trail, but you have to book so far in advance. The people I spoke to who did do it, that you have these Sherpas who look after you, and they're carrying all these equipment.
All your luggage.
Oh, yeah, we had that in Nepal. Yeah, they're incredible
guys. I don't know, we did a similar thing in Nepal. We were walking the Annapurna Mountains, and I wouldn't consider myself unfit at all. And at the time, I was going to the gym a good 4 times a week, and I was struggling. Because, well, when you're walking that length of time, like a good few days, your ankles start to hurt, your feet, and you get rubs and stuff like that. But they are literally carrying this weight. Did they put it over their head as well?
Yeah, incredible.
So you've got a bag on their back, and the strap is going across their forehead, and they're kind of leaning forward to bring that weight up. But these people are, they've got a good 40, 50 years on me. I'm struggling with no luggage, and they're just walking straight up.
Oh, they're amazing. They fly past you. I mean, there's friends who did the Inca Trail. They fly past you, they arrive, they pitch up the tent, they build the whole place, they cook you a meal, and you get there, and they're like, what time? This and they're just incredible.
Wow.
And
amazing.
One of the people who went on a trip, there was like a large American lady who was on the trip, and she just gave up after the first day.
Really?
So they carried her for 3 days.
They carried her.
They
kept
over her shoulder.
Whoa. No, you're joking.
They all took it in turns for like 2 hours.
Wow.
No, I don't believe you.
And they're walking along
them, like extra.
And no, she didn't tip them, and everyone else did. She was the only one who didn't. Incredible,
what?
Right?
I'm sure she doesn't reflect most Americans. But
oh, no, of course not. It's a one-off
awful.
Story. But
that's not anything to
but
do
when,
with
when the people who went on that told me, I just shouldn't laugh. It's just so audacious. It's incredible.
That's,
but that you're walking along basically cliff edges. You know, it's like out of Mission Impossible or James Bond film.
Yeah.
You literally, if you fall over there, it's game over. It's 300, 400 feet drop.
Unbelievable.
So I think they were saying how many people don't make it, unfortunately.
Oh, really?
But tourists?
Yeah, a couple a year, apparently. But if you fall, there's no rescuing you. There's no helicopter or anything. And so it's...
Wow. Okay.
It's a real achievement when you complete that. Yeah. I do feel like I would have liked to have done that, but you have to book it so far in advance.
Yeah.
And we're 5 lads. We're not organised.
No.
Fair enough.
We just turned up. So we got the minibus and we made our way up the 2,000 steps in the morning. And Machu Picchu is...
Now, I was going to ask you, I mean, we've all seen pictures of Machu Picchu, and I imagine it's going to be a bit like when I saw the Grand Canyon, and I've seen pictures before, I've seen pictures since I've been there, and the pictures are rubbish compared to seeing the real thing. You can't get an idea of the distance and everything. Now, I imagine you see the real thing, and then ever since then, you look back on a picture, you think that picture must look shit.
Like, yeah.
Well, I imagine it was amazing.
It was just incredible. It's the whole 360 degree view.
Yeah.
And it's just, it is really takes your breath away. And we were very lucky it wasn't cloudy or anything. So we got a perfect view. I mean, the photos you see are of the one section, which is very, you know, incredible. But there's so much more to it. There's so many more areas that you don't really see in pictures. So it was amazing to walk around and you're very free. The guide takes you around for an hour and then it's up to you. You can stay as long as you want, really. But they let a certain amount of people in every day. Look, it's amazing. It really was amazing. A few of the lads done a lot of walking, so they had a little sleep for an hour.
Nice.
And you know, it was really nice.
Yeah.
You can just, there's a lot of grassed areas. And we're really, really lucky to have seen that. Really, really nice.
So I'm really happy that you said you can kind of do best of both worlds. So you got your minibus up and then did a walk, because from my understanding of just briefly looking over some of the trips, you could either walk it, which took like 7 days, which most people don't have like time for. Like you said, you're in a rush, or you get the train up. And I kind of wanted a middle ground, so that's perfect that you can.
Yeah, you can walk half of it. And get the minibus and it drop you at the power station, walk into the town and spend a night there and kind of explore and do your own walk. But there's the 2,000 steps from the town up to Machu Picchu, which is pretty incredible.
Yeah. And how long would that take?
Took a couple of hours.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really?
Wow. Yeah, a couple of hours when you've got your big heavy rucksack. That would be my advice. Don't, you know, pack light.
Yeah.
And don't drink the night before. I drank I went to bed like 2 hours before we had to get up on the bus.
No.
And I was on the bus to Machu Picchu, like, I got off and I was throwing up.
No.
Such an idiot.
So it seems like you just throwing up and doing other things while you're traveling.
I was such an idiot.
Yeah. Can I just tell a funny story about Machu Picchu quickly? Because when years ago, when me and Amy first started to get together, she happened to see just this brochure I had in the house.
I know what you're going to say now.
I had this brochure about the Inca Trail and Machu Picchu, and there's a big picture of Machu Picchu on the front. And she's like, oh, like, you're thinking about doing that? I was like, well, I'd like to go one day. And she took one look at it and she goes, my house in Spain, we've got mountains like that. Why do you want to go all the way to Peru to do that?
I sound like I'm a 90-year-old woman, don't I? I remember looking at that brochure, and this was, like, at this point, I did really want to travel. But I remember seeing it and just thinking, like, back then I weren't really into exercise or walking or anything like that. I just thought, why would you want to walk for 7 days to just see this view and then go home? Like, I just couldn't understand it at all. When now, that would be, like, one of my favourite things to do. It would be, like, the highlight of my life. But, yeah.
But it's funny, I know what you mean, because, yeah, your family do have a place in Spain and it is in the mountains. It does look nice. But
it looks completely different.
I imagine it's got nothing on
Machu Picchu.
Yeah,
absolutely
for sure.
Not. Right, so what we're going to do is we're going to play a game called Money, Money, Money. Then we're going to come back and talk a bit more about your Peru stories. Is that right?
Perfect, thank you.
Cool. All right, so Money, Money, Money. Nick has started a new game for this episode. And do you want to explain it, Nick?
Yep, okay. So what we're going to do, there's no time kind of constraints here, but I've got 10 countries.
Okay.
And you're going to take it in turns. James, I guess you'll go first because you're our guest. I'm going to read out 10 countries. You tell me the currency they use for their money. And then at the end, we'll see who's got the most correct.
I think this is going to be so hard.
I want my money, man.
Okay, James, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Brazil.
Reais.
Correct. Ooh. China.
Is it yen?
Nope.
Oh.
Is it not?
Hungary.
Been to Hungary, I should know this, shouldn't I?
I'm going to have to hurry you.
I've just been, mate. So I know what that one is.
That's wrong. Australia.
It's the Australian dollar, right?
Yep. Mexico.
Mexico. You just paying coronas, don't you? Mexico. It's got to be... potatoes? Mexican potatoes?
No, no. South Africa.
Mexican pesos. South Africa. This is tough, isn't
hard.
It?
Yeah.
You're doing so much better than I would have.
Not South African rupees.
No.
That's in rupees, India.
Cambodia. And don't say dollars, because I know they prefer US dollars, but what's the real currency?
Oh, my word.
Oh, I've been there. I can't remember what it is.
I know what it looks like. It's Cambodian...
Oh, I'm going to have to hurry
up. Oh, Nick, no. Put the pressure on.
Holland.
It's Euros, isn't it?
Yeah. Switzerland.
Switzerland. Oh, wow. They're in
I wouldn't
charge
have known
of all
any
the
of
banks.
These.
Swiss franc?
Yes. Finally, Egypt.
I've been there as well. Egypt. Oh, come on, Nick.
No, you don't know?
Don't.
You've been there. You've
I
been
know.
There.
Is it Egyptian? I don't know.
No, time's up. So, you got Brazil, right?
Cambodia's the only one I'm disappointed not to get.
You got Brazil, right? Real. China, renminbi.
Renminbi.
Renminbi, where it is.
Oh, that's off Lethal Weapon. Renminbi.
Have you been to China?
You know, no, not yet.
Okay. Hungary, there's a tough one, it's forint.
foreign.
Yeah, Australia, dollar. Mexico, pesos.
Pesos.
You did actually, or pesos. You did say it, but I'd already marked you wrong there.
Oh, tough.
South Africa is rand.
Oh, I'd never got that.
Cambodia, riel. Real.
Real.
Yeah.
Reals.
Yeah, Holland, euro. Switzerland, Swiss franc. You got that right. And Egypt, interestingly, is the Egyptian pound.
Ah.
So, 1, 2, 3, 4 correct.
Right. I'm not very good at this.
No, you're definitely better than me. I wouldn't have got any of those, except for the euro one.
I thought you might have put Peru on there. I knew that one.
Sorry. No Peru.
Okay, right. It's my turn.
Amy, are you ready?
Yep.
So, let's go. USA.
Dollars.
Sweden.
You've
been there.
Oh, God.
She doesn't deal with the money, though. That's why.
Oh, hello. Yeah, this is really tough.
I'm going to have to hurry you.
Sweden.
No, wrong. Germany.
Oh, Frank?
No, wrong. That's... I can only accept your first answer.
Is it? Oh, no, is it
you? Indonesia.
Oh, my God. I'm so bad at this game. Indonesia. I've been there.
I have to hurry you. No, wrong.
My mind's gone blank.
Poland.
Oh, my God, I've been there twice. This is such bad radio because I'm just going, I've been there, but I don't know when it is.
How are you? Wrong.
Oh, my God, I'm sorry.
New Zealand.
Like, if you looked inside my brain right now, it'd be playing white. Like, there's nothing else going on. No activity. What was it? New Zealand?
New Zealand, yeah.
New Zealand pounds.
No. Nepal.
Oh, my God, this is a joke. This is an absolute joke. You can tell he has the bum bag. He carries one of those bum bags. Okay. I'm going to let that one out the back.
I used to. I don't anymore. No, you don't know?
What was the country again?
Nepal.
No, oh, my God.
Thailand.
No. See, this is what I mean. I've gone completely blank. This is awful.
Looking back, actually, I think she's had some quite easy ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are easy. Thailand.
No, Thai.
It's on the tip of my tongue. It's on the tip of my tongue. Thai.
Main character in The Simpsons.
Too long.
Homer. No, Bart.
Russia.
Thai Bart.
You got it wrong.
No, I did know that. Thanks, James.
Russia.
I think we should just stop because I'm not getting any.
Come on, it's two more.
Russia. Russian pounds.
No.
Russian dollars.
Morocco.
This is embarrassing.
No, you've got that wrong as well. So...
Oh my God, this is so
embarrassing.
You've
got one correct answer. That was USA dollar. Sweden is krona. Germany, euro. How did you get that wrong?
I thought it was a trick question.
You said franc. Indonesia.
What is franc? Is that French? It's franc.
Old French money.
Yeah.
Indonesia, rupiah. Poland, zloty.
Ah, zloty. I knew that.
New Zealand, dollar. Nepal, rupee. Same as India. Thailand, baht. Russia, ruble. And Morocco, dirham.
Dirham. That was awful. I'm embarrassed. I might cut that out.
But I think we've all learnt a lot.
You can re-edit it. You got them all right.
Yeah. When you leave, I'm gonna say all of them on the mic, and then I'll just slot them in. Slot in the answers.
Perfect. So James got 4. Amy got 1.
Did I get 1? I thought I got none.
You got USA.
Oh, dollar.
Wow. Well
That's
done.
So embarrassing. Wow. Let's move on there. Okay. So we want to hear some Peru stories, as this is a Peru special. Tell us some stuff.
So I was talking earlier about the World Rover. Amazing hostel.
And where was that again? In Cusco?
In Cusco, yeah. There's one in Arequipa and one in La Paz in Bolivia as well. But yeah, Cusco is definitely my favourite. Great place to stay. I'd recommend it. It's one of those things. There's always crazy things that happen in a hostel, whether it be someone in the bunk opposite me is pulled and I've got to sleep with headphones in tonight. Or what do I listen to?
I just drank some water at the very wrong time there.
What do you listen to when someone's doing that?
Yeah.
Rock the Casbah? I don't know.
I want to have sex on the beach, baby.
And I'm just there, alone, listening. I'm not. Just don't want to listen.
All by myself.
You think it'd be sexy. Oh, that'd be sexy. They're doing it over there. But really,
yeah.
You're like,
no.
That's not sexy. It's disgusting.
No. How dare you do that around me?
And the smell. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. So there was one night where I was just in bed, everyone was sleeping, and the door opened and this guy came in absolutely so drunk. And there's lockers at one side of the room and he fell into them, so it basically woke everyone up.
Yeah.
And you just heard like a tap switch on. Oh. So the first thing I do is reach for my phone and I turn the torch on and I can just see this guy just pissing on the floor.
Oh, no.
So what's the first thing you would do? Hopefully the first thing I would do, take the light off, put my camera on. flash.
Nice.
Yes.
We've got to get some pictures here.
So you do have the
evidence. Did you get successful pictures?
I got a picture, yeah. And that guy is surely a grower, not a shower. So, yes, you have to really zoom in. But so I took the picture.
So did you know this guy was a stranger?
Never met him. Met him at all. So someone switched the light on, and there was a girl in our room was going absolutely mad, screaming at him, and he was like, "Don't worry about it. Just go back to sleep."
Great advice.
She goes, "The room stinks." So we went down to. I said, "Go down to reception. It says any problems. Great hostel. Any problems? Go down to reception, and we'll sort anything out for you immediately," which is like really good.
Mm.
So she went down to reception, and a guy came up with a towel and just stood on it and walked around the room.
Oh, no.
So we went back down, and then the owner came up and he mopped it up. He's good as gold.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was pretty hilarious. That went on in one hostel. But
so how many people were in your room at the time?
It would have been I think.
And the guy to girl ratio as well. What was that?
There's girl dorms in every hostel, so yeah. A lot of the times girls travel together and they have their own rooms. But I think there was 10 in that room. And there'd have been 3 girls, maybe.
Oh, so quite a lot then.
The girl was really nice. She was from Israel, so we couldn't go back to sleep after that. So we just sat talking about our own
pissing.
Countries. Yeah.
Oh, good.
When did you piss yourself?
It was on a bus, but
like you said, you were just up all night talking. I don't know if you found this. Sometimes for us, when we've been travelling, the best nights have been in our hostel, group of people, few drinks,
100%,
just chat.
Yeah, 100%.
You don't have to go out anywhere. Just stay in, chat, and you do meet some really interesting characters.
Really amazing people. It's amazing how you go to the other side of the world and just meet people that are so similar to you. You can just and this.
Oh, you're all there for the same reason, aren't you?
Of course, and you can get on with everyone in the world. Everyone's got something in common, whether it's music or, you know, anything. So it's really great to meet different people, and especially when you can meet someone, travel together for a few weeks, and then you go your separate ways and you meet another group of people.
Yeah.
But I think there are certain hostels that work as hubs, where there was one in Millhouse in Argentina in Buenos Aires. I mean, they must have had 400 or 500 people staying there.
Whoa.
And the rest of the trip, you'd see someone on the beach in Brazil. Oh, you were staying at that hotel, you know?
Yeah.
At that hostel, sorry. So you, there's certain hostels that are really very sociable, more sociable than others. So that was really good. But we left there. I did Peru hop after Cusco, because that's when the group of lads I was with all left. So I was on my own again. And I thought it's a great way to meet people.
So what is Peru hop?
Peru hop is basically a bus service, and you can hop on and hop off, and it goes to different places in Peru. And you just let them know the day before when you want to go on and when you want to stay.
Nice.
And
is it expensive?
It's pretty reasonable. It's about 120 quid, I think.
And can you jump on and off as much as you like?
Yeah, as long as you give them a bit of notice. But I was making my way up to Lima because I wanted to fly to Iquitos, which is the largest place in the world you can't get to by road. It's in the Amazon rainforest.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I've definitely heard of Iquitos.
So I was really wanting to go there, and I went on Peru Hop after St. Patrick's Day, so I'd done a lot of drinking and stuff. And I decided to go on a real detox and flush everything out. I went veggie. No salt, no sugar, no alcohol, no sex, part of the detox, which was easy.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Just another week. No. So I made my way, and I got on the Peru Hop bus, and I had this sex band because I was going into the jungle to do some medicines and whatnot.
Wow.
So I thought, it's the male to female ratio is predominantly like any nightclub in England. It's going to be 70% male.
Yeah.
60% creepy.
Yeah.
yeah.
Me included. No, I'm joking. Not me included.
Well, let's remind ourselves. How did Amy meet you again?
Ah, what a photo. She's like, yeah.
So
leave me alone now. I'm working. I'm sorry.
So with the Amazon rainforest, it's a place I don't really want to go. I think it's just all the creatures and all the scary things that live there, to be honest. Well, how did you find?
I think that's the most amazing place I've ever been. It's
really
the heartbeat of the world, really.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So it keeps the world going, right?
100%. The air is so fresh, and I've never really been like a massive nature lover. You know, I wear clothes on the beach and stuff, but for me it was the most incredible thing. And to fly over the rainforest and just look down,
amazing.
You have to look closely, you think it's the ocean, it's so vast. It's just so intense. So I made my way up through the Peru Hop bus, and I got on this bus with my six band, and there's 24 beautiful girls on the bus. You just can't believe it. I met a great girl, we had instant chemistry, we're making each other laugh for 8 hours, and I managed to convince her to leave her two friends she's travelling with.
Really?
We went out to Paracas, which was amazing. It was, you know, we went on like a boat, and it's like a bit of an animal sanctuary, which is really, really amazing. And we went to Huacachina, which is like an oasis in the middle of a desert.
Mm-hmm.
So it's complete desert, and then there's just a big river and the lake in the middle. there's a few hostels and you go on a sand buggy.
Oh,
and,
sweet.
Yeah, stay there for a couple of days. That was really, really nice.
Oh, it sounds so good. I just immediately want to go trampoline now.
Yeah,
sounds good.
That picture's on my Instagram, actually.
Oh, we'll post that then.
That might be a nice one, yeah, because it's an oasis in the middle of a desert, basically.
It's insane.
So I stayed there for a little while and then I made my way up to Lima, the capital.
Yeah, what did you think of Lima?
I like Lima. It was nice, but I much preferred Cusco. To be honest, Lima, there wasn't as... it was much more like a city and to see Fast and the Furious, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It was more like, you know, shops and built up and it was very westernised, whereas Cusco for me was more cultural, really. But I went and saw Fast and the Furious 7 and it was English with Spanish subtitles and they all applauded at the end.
Aww.
The end of the film.
Do you remember that when people used to applaud at the end of film? It doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah. Oh,
it was really
sweet.
Nice.
Yeah.
It was absolutely full and it was like 50p for a film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Did you feel like when you go there, it's kind of like back in time for us, but obviously completely different because it's a different culture?
Not in cities like that. It's very westernised. It's similar to a lot of the cities in Europe and stuff.
Okay.
And the Spanish influence, obviously, is very strong. But I think places like Cusco and Iquitos are just totally different. Iquitos, for me, was the most magical place I've ever been. That's my favourite place ever, really.
Wow.
Mm. And I obviously did the detox. But again, I was very lucky. I got into a really good hostel, met a really good group of people.
Yeah.
I sort of spent time with them and I went into the jungle and there's some people who actually live out there. There's two Danish guys, two English guys.
Wow.
And they bought an area and cut all the trees down, made their own home, and they just live on the land.
Is this just a chance meeting with them?
Yeah, basically. Well, I met them through, I did 6 ayahuasca ceremonies.
What are they?
So ayahuasca is basically a brew that's made from specific vines of a plant.
I was going to be kind of talking to you about similar things like this, actually, so it's going to lead on quite well.
And the native Peruvians, it's from Peru, native Peruvians, historians don't know how they found out about it, but it's passed on through generation to generation. They call it a medicine, not a drug. It's kind of very spiritual, and you go into a ceremony, and I was very lucky a friend of mine went and recommended me a really good shaman, and the shaman holds the space and stuff. I'm sounding like one of them kids in a gap year. Oh, yeah. Like one of them tossers. I'm not a tosser. Well, I am, but I don't want to sound
not
like
a travel
that.
Tosser.
Yeah, I sort of am. But, it was really amazing. So I met some really cool people doing that. A really amazing experience for me.
Yeah.
I'd recommend that. There's some places you can do it in England, but I don't think it's... I've never done it in England. For me,
it's authentic, I would
say. No, I think part of it is it's pitch black. You're in the middle of the Amazon. All the animals, the sounds, and the wind's blowing. It's just really, really beautiful. It was really nice. And I also did some acupuncture, which I've never done before.
Oh, wow. Okay.
There was a guy who's doing it. Volpe is half... Peruvian, half Chinese, and one of the nicest people I've ever met. Really lovely man. And I tried booking in and he was fully booked. Everyone was saying, oh, Jim Carrey was here to see him last month. He's like, you can't get in, he's going to be this star, they're going to move him to Hollywood. So, I mean, I don't know if that's a sales pitch or what, but I went and met him and he was just the most incredible, gentle man. And every part of your body is a pressure point, and he was feeling up my arm and he was sort of feeling the pressure points on my body and then describing my personality and things that happened in my life.
No way. It was incredible.
It was really incredible. And then he said, oh, you've got some tension here, and explained what it was and why I'd felt it. And I was like, how does this guy know?
See, I could really get into things like that. I like weird things. But were you cynical before? And then
I had a real open mind about it. But you are a bit cynical. But I think some people would lie there and go, come on then, tell me what you know. Whereas you have to open up as much as he's feeling your arm and goes, right, that's anxiety for it could be one of many things.
Mm.
And you have to give as much as you can, really, to help him, you know. So for me, I had a couple of things that were like blockages in my life. So
I think I need to go see this guy.
I think you'd really enjoy something like that.
Yeah,
for sure.
So he really just said, you're harnessing onto that. And obviously with the ayahuasca, I tried to explore that as well, because, you know, I sadly lost my sister 8 years ago. So that was something that was, you know, you never get over that. But it was, you know, everyone deals with things in their own way.
Definitely, yeah.
So, you know, not to bring the mood down. Sorry, guys.
No, that's all right.
But
it
was that thing where with the acupuncture, he felt my arm and said, oh, you think about someone a lot. And I was like, really? Like, you know, and I sort of opened up to him and he was just saying, I can feel it in your body, in your pressure points, which is so fascinating to me because, like you say, I'm a bit, not sceptical, but I think, oh, here we go, whatever. So it was really like such an amazing thing for me. I really, really enjoyed that. So I went to see him three times.
Oh, wow. And is it expensive to do something like that?
It worked out about £35-40.
Per time you
And I always gave him a little bit extra, but he was, him and the shaman, who was the nicest person I've ever met. You look into his eyes and you just, he's just the nicest,
wisdom,
kindest man. He'd just give you a hug and give you a, he's just a really nice man. And they never really asked for money. They had like translators and stuff who'd say, oh, it's this much. And, you know, the Westerners are all about money. You've got to pay this and it's there. And I said to him about money, and he didn't want to touch it. He just say, oh, there's the drawer, you know, leave me whatever. You know, they were never, they're not avaricious. They're not doing it for the money. They're doing it for their own. It was really nice. Whereas some of them, I think some of the shamans, for every one good one, there's 10 chances who are trying to, if you go to the market store, say, I'm looking to do ayahuasca and I'm looking for a shaman. My uncle, my cousin. And so you have to be quite careful. I was very, very lucky in that I had a friend who'd been and recommended right person. So I was very lucky.
So for someone that kind of turns up and does want to see a shaman or something, what would you recommend? Like, how would they go about it without being scammed?
I think there are some really good retreats. I think there's some Westerners out there who are really, really taking things seriously and have some amazing retreats. You can Google and research, but some of them are very expensive. Like there's one that's like $2,000 for a week, and they, you stay on, you know, in the Amazon, in their home, or they call it their farm, and they feed you all week with their special nutrients and diets. And I had an old geography teacher at school who said that he believed everything that, you know, there is on this earth can cure everything there is. You know, that we're exploring space, but we haven't explored, you know,
enough 95%
of the seabed, you know. So there's things like that. So I think they very much believe that their medicines are made from trees and they don't have paracetamols, you know. They they cut up a tree
that.
And leaves.
I would definitely go for that rather than paracetamol.
Everything we buy in a pharmacy really comes from there.
Of course, yeah. And so that's how they work, and that's their mentality in the jungle. And we went fishing, and there's piranhas and all sorts. It was really amazing. It's very hard for me to describe. It has to be your experience. You have to go there and experience it yourself. And, you know, if you do these diets, you stay with them for a week, and, you know, no sugar, no salt, and it's everything's organic. Honestly, I, about saying cliche, I felt a lot better.
Yeah,
and I felt really, really good with myself, lost a lot of weight and stuff, and then went to Colombia and ruined it all.
Nice.
Amazing. That's some really amazing stories there. That's really good. Right.
So we were watching a programme the other day called Booze Traveller, okay, and it was a Peru special, actually, which was really good and convenient. He basically goes around and samples different beer, different booze and all of that.
Yeah, around the world.
Around the world. What a job.
What a job.
Travel the world and drink alcohol.
Actually, it's man versus food, but the drink. Alcoholic version.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's really cool. But he was talking about a drink called Cañazo.
Okay.
Okay, have you heard of this?
No. There's a place in Peru called Pisco, and they do Pisco sours.
Okay.
I went to the vineyard, actually, and saw where it was made.
Oh, right, okay.
Old school, they're just stamping on it in their bare feet. But
yeah. So this kind of the sort of vibe
similar.
This is. The guy who was, like, tasting it on the programme said it tasted like gasoline.
Brian, I'm going to be honest with you. That smells like pure gasoline.
So strong stuff. But it's made in the Amazon with sugar cane as well.
Okay.
But they also put something in it, which, if you'd drunk the drink, I was going to ask if you had eaten a monkey penis. Because they put a monkey penis in the drink as you drink it.
Oh, is that in, and it's bottled with that in it?
I'm not sure. In the program, it's in a cup and they just had it like as a stirrer. A monkey penis stirrer.
What about the poor monkey?
So that was one drink. But then he went on to another place. He went to see the Alamos tribe, and they have a thing called spit beer, right?
Wow.
So what they do is they get potato from the Amazon rainforest that's like been growing there, or fruit, or quinoa, or quinoa, however you want to say
quinoa.
It. And they put it in their mouth, chew it to get the saliva out of the potato or whatever it is.
Oh, surely not.
Spit it back out onto this pot, and then they mix everybody's spit together, and then they ferment it, which creates a beer. So it's called spit beer.
Wow.
So it really is.
Yeah.
It really is kind of what it says.
That is unbelievable.
So when you said with all the medicine and stuff and how organic everything is, even their beer is organic.
That's too organic.
that's too much.
I'm one of these people that thinks, I mean, what you said sounded great earlier with the diet you're on, but organic doesn't always mean good. Organic can mean spit, and it can mean shit as well. Like, you know what I mean?
That is true.
Yeah. But it looks disgusting.
It was quite repulsive, but, you know, when in Rome.
When in Rome.
Right, so we're going to just wrap up finally. So every episode, we're obviously going to name it. We don't want to call it something boring like episode 2. So Nick's come up with a few quirky names for us to decide on what we want to call this episode. I heard a few of them about a month ago and nearly cried because they were so bad. Funny bad.
I'm going to run some names by you. They're play on words kind of names. And if you have any more, please.
I can't remember them, so I can't wait to hear them again.
So, the first one. Dr. Peru.
No? You don't have to say anything. Really? No. Okay.
He's looking at Peru.
See, now I didn't get these.
He's looking at you.
He's looking at you. He's looking at Peru.
Okay. And obviously, Doctor Who. Dr. Peru.
Doctor.
Oh, see, no, I didn't get that.
Oh, my God. I'll explain them all then.
I was thinking Dr. Peru,
just,
Dr. Pepper.
Just go through them.
Nice to meet Peru. How about, how Peru doing?
Oh, they're getting worse.
They're getting better.
My personal favourite, Peru, do you think you are?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the winner.
Peru, do you, what was it?
Peru, do you think you are? And every time I say that, I think of, Peru, do you think you are?
Some cool. Kind. Oh, I should have brought you an Inca Kola.
What's an Inca Kola?
Coca-Cola make it, but it's like a really popular drink out there. They have obviously Coca-Cola, but they have Inca Kola, and it's like a cross between like Iron Brew and Coca-Cola.
Okay.
I brought a bottle home. I should have brought it. I'm so sorry.
Oh, that's all right.
Send a picture.
Can I bring you? I'll bring you one in. We could have tasted it.
Oh, that would have been good. But we were gonna try and find some Cañasso spit beer so we could try that.
Oh, cheers! You made your own. Here you go.
We made this last night.
Yeah. Special offering for coming to our podcast.
Amazing.
Right. Well, thank you so much for coming in today, James.
That was really
interesting.
It's been
really fun.
Really good.
Oh, thanks.
I feel like I've learned so much about Peru. I hope our listeners have as well. And I'm sure you'll be back on the show soon.
Oh, that's very
kind
of you.
You can tell us about another country that you've
been to. I didn't even get to tell you about the Colca Canyon.
Oh, tell us about that. All right, last story of the podcast.
We're pressed for time, but go on, tell us quickly.
That was on the Peru Hop. It's just this amazing, incredible canyon, and you walk around it and you're on a bus, again, on the edge of a cliff, just driving around. And it's just, I'll show you the pictures on Instagram, but there's just some beautiful views, and it's not like the Grand Canyon, but it's a lot greener. But again, just incredible, really. There's so much to see in Peru.
Yeah, this is good, because like me and Amy and most people think Peru and you think of Machu Picchu. But yeah, I'm sure there is a lot more to see, which we just don't have any idea about. So this is really interesting.
Yeah, very much so. I do think of Machu Picchu, that's true. But there's ruins, and obviously the Incas really left their mark.
Yeah.
So yeah, so you have to go. You'd really love it.
Definitely.
We will one day.
It's in the plans for next year, I'd say.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah. But yeah, thanks for listening. This was episode 2. I believe it's called Peru, Do You Think You Are? And so thanks for James for coming on. And we'll see you next month, which I believe we're talking about Budapest.
Yes, we are. Budapest and Hungary.
As we've just got back from a trip there. So look forward to that next month.
Thanks very much for having me. Thanks.
Cheers.
Don't forget, you can get in contact on @FauxPodcast. That's Faux spelled P-H-O. Or What the Faux Podcast on Instagram. You can also email us whatthefauxpodcast@gmail.com.